Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to Not Another True Crime Podcast. The rumors are true. I'm back.
She was gone for a minute. Now she's back with the jump off, right?
Is that a song?
A Little Kim song.
Oh, nice.
So I guess you weren't away this past. You weren't sick researching Little Kim. You were just actually sick.
Yeah. It's weird to not be sick with COVID. Like, I was pretty convinced I had it, but I just had the flu.
I know. It is that cold. We forget that before it was COVID season every day, there is cold and flu season.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, I don't even know if I got my flu shot. Like, I thought I did, but then I think I'm just conflating it with last year. It's like a mess.
It's a mess. I know. I'm going because I got the new booster, so now I have to get the other flu shot because I didn't want to get them
at
the same time.
I'm getting that Saturday. My friend got them at the same time. I'm like, you're insane.
That's like, I want to use a arm. I want a working arm and like a working brain for like at least a day. I know. So it seems that, but yeah.
Totally.
I mean, for anybody who, this is just your PSA, be healthy, fam.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
But even if you are just like, you know what? I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to like do anything. I don't even need it. I'm never going to leave my house. Luckily, Netflix and all these other streaming services has good content coming out.
My God.
It's nonstop.
I know. I feel like people aren't talking as much about this documentary. Everybody went like full into Jeffrey Dahmer, which like whatever.
I know. I also haven't started that. Not, I guess it's a miniseries. And I've been hearing very very intense reviews of just like, they were like, it's not good, but just gruesome, which I don't know if I need to have that combination.
I mean, yeah, and also I read, like, part of an essay of one of the family members of the victims who said, like, Netflix, like, never approached us, like, never compensated us. Like, it's such a well-known case, but at the same time, like, you could throw these people some money, your Netflix, I think, right?
Yeah, they can. Their execs have private cars. To drive them to and from work, they can take an Uber XL for one day to send some money forward. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like, I just feel like, if you're Netflix, it's kind of like a bad look.
It also is funny, too. Did you see that Netflix had it in, like, the, like, category for LGBT stories? And everyone's like, don't put that there.
Oh, my God.
Because that's, like, for, like, little kids, they go to, like, watch, like, Love, Simon, and they're like, Dahmer.
Horrible.
I know. They're like, no, this is the representation we're throwing at you. They cancel like every show involving a lesbian, but yeah.
My God. Ugh, no. But today we're going to talk about the other docuseries, Sins of Our Mother.
Which I feel this is, because Lori Vallow, I feel like true crime people have been so really up to date on this case, but I don't know if a lot of other people like who aren't basically listening to this podcast are kind of like, so maybe that's why it's not being talked about as much, but it should be because it is fucking insane.
I know. I mean, also, like, I thought that I was keeping up with this news and I would, like, read articles whenever they came out, but apparently, like, so I thought a lot of stuff in the documentary was, like, new information. One of our followers told us, they DM'd us at Not Know the True Crime, which you also can do, but they said, like, if you watch the Dateline episode or there was a podcast on it, so if you listen to those, then it's a bit of a repeat of information, but I didn't. And I also thought it was really like interesting to see or to hear like Colby's side of things.
100%. Yeah. I thought it was really interesting that he was kind of the main person in it. Also interesting timing for him, because if people are keeping up with it all the time, you know that he just had charges dropped against him for sexual assault against his ex-wife. And I wasn't sure if that was
they're divorced?
I know.
Oh, wow.
Or his estranged wife. So they don't live together.
Okay.
And they, I don't know what led them to that, but it was basically they getting into him before we talk about all of him in the documentary, just because, you know, this is updating up top. They like didn't live together, but he went over to her house. They were watching a movie. They were talking. And then she said that he took it farther than she wanted him to, press charges. They were dropped without prejudice.
Which means they can refile again.
They can.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good. And I learned that literally 2 weeks ago on another podcast. So I'm
nice. Clever. Yeah, I learned that when I had to research it for my master's project. So.
Ooh, yeah, and yeah, shout out to, I learned it from Ebony Williams podcast, funny enough.
Oh, there we go.
Everything is tying together. Yes. Yeah, so weird timing for him, because I was like, oh my God, like he's like really having this entire story time, came out the same time as this. But anyway, it was with that. I feel he never really talked about it at length in this capacity before. And also like with her, like, behind the scenes of like her family and everything like that too.
Totally. So, I mean, let's just get into some background. So, and also we did cover this in an episode before, but again, I thought that the documentary had like new information, mostly just about how insane this whole like quote unquote cult was.
From the jump. Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly.
And text messages. You know, I live for text messages on screen.
I love a text.
When that happens, I'm just like, okay, my phone is down. Because I need to fucking read now, but also because it's very interesting and juicy.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so Lori has two brothers, Alex and Adam, and a younger sister, Summer. And her mom is... Oh, yeah, and her mom was in the documentary, which was also, like, pretty wild.
Everyone agreed to do this. So Netflix is paying some people, I'm guessing, because I don't know why else they would do this.
I don't know. Well, the mom probably wants to, like, get a different story out there after she went publicly on like a defending Lori campaign, and then it turns out she killed her kids all along. So
yeah.
So all the kids were raised in the LDS church, which is already like and Lori got married right out of high school, but that marriage didn't last. She had Colby when she was 22 with her second husband William, also a bad relationship. Then she got married to Joe, and she had her daughter Tylee. After that, she entered the Mrs. Texas pageant, which I was like, wait, what?
This was bad. I was just like, wait, uh-huh. I truly thought I was like, I like, you know, when like you sit on the remote and the channel changes and I'm like, did I Netflix?
You're right.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on here?
I know that was like an interesting twist. And so was the fact that she was on Wheel of Fortune.
You know, and it made me remember, I should watch Wheel of Fortune more. I mainly only do Jeopardy, but it is fun.
It is.
If I ever do Wheel of Fortune, I would... Actually, I don't know if I would ever get picked for... I guess that one is better. I don't know.
I don't think I'm interesting enough.
I don't think I am either. And I don't think God would ever tell me to. Like God did for her, she says.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. But then, I mean, pretty soon, Joe turned abusive towards Colby. So that was not good. So Lori left. And then she met Charles Vallow, her fourth husband. I think fourth time's a charm, I guess.
You know, yeah. We'll go with that. If anybody's been married four times, let us know how it's going.
I know. Oh my gosh. I have to respect her, I guess, for continuing to get Believing back on love. The horse. But you, like,
honestly, geez. Yeah. But also that paperwork. God damn.
I know. Well, they kind of alluded to this in the documentary that maybe she married Charles for the financial security.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But either way, in 2013, Lori and Charles adopted JJ from Charles' sister Kay's son. Because he was being cared for by his grandparents or grandfather at the time. And JJ had autism. And it was just like, I don't know, they had some struggles. Charles and Laura moved to Hawaii at some point.
And what didn't she go like, she was like, oh my God, it's been years. How didn't even have time flies when you're in Hawaii or something?
I feel like they were back and forth from Hawaii like a couple of times.
Yeah,
which is random. Like, how do you just pivot up and move to Hawaii? Like, I can't even move apartments.
No, God, literally.
So, I don't know. Like, Lori got really into religion. We're going to get into that in a second. But, like, Charles wasn't as into it. And that was kind of a pain point for her. And meanwhile, Lori's beliefs were getting, like, more and more extreme. She claimed that she was having like daily encounters with this angel that Joseph Smith, who's the founder of Mormonism, claimed visited him on multiple occasions, and who's like the guardian of the golden plates, which are basically the source from which Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon. I mean, she basically claims that she's on the same level as the guy who founded Mormonism.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it's kind of like it's like getting into the extreme where like when it's like if you date someone who's like really into Marvel, when they just start saying words and things and you're like, I don't know what universe you're in, and I think you need someone in your universe to really get this going, because there's just a lack of communication here.
I mean, it was just nuts. And also, she said she didn't need sleep anymore, which is a huge red flag. Huge. I don't need sleep, but when I say it, it's fine.
Well, my thing is, I would love sleep. I don't know how to sleep.
Yeah, that's really it.
It's more the thing.
That's it. That's really just what I tell myself so I don't like lose my mind.
I know. Oh, I...
So they moved from Hawaii. After they lived in Hawaii, they moved from Hawaii to Arizona. Colby got married and Lori just started kind of losing it, saying weird shit like, Jesus loves you, but he loves me more.
That's 100% a bumper sticker.
Fact.
Like, I feel like that bumper sticker has cut me off.
I feel like the whole, like, you're not supposed to brag about Jesus' love, right? You're supposed to say, like, he loves you.
Yeah, I think he loves everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like everybody's parent. Like, he's not supposed to have favorites.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, no, my eyes are closed. Yeah.
Right.
That was an amazing Jesus impression, by the way.
Thank you so much. I know. I spoke to him. Then she started to get like really focused on the end times, like buying rice and beans and all kinds of shit, as if she was going to have to live in a bunker or something. And now that I'm reading that out loud, I'm like, that's exactly what I did when I saw news that like the insurrection was happening. I was like, cool, I'm getting my provisions right now for the Civil War.
100%. And also COVID too.
That too. I know. Oh my gosh. So this all kind of started because like Lori started listening to this podcast and got her brother into it. It was called Feel the Fire, hosted by a woman named Melanie Gibb.
You know, I don't dislike her name, but, and Melanie is a cool name, and there are, I mean, I love Melanie Safka, the singer. Don't base your entire life on a Melanie.
On a Melanie.
Just gonna put that out there.
What name should you base your life on?
Lady Gaga.
Okay, fair. A Beyonce.
Stephanie spelled with an F and an I. Yes, Beyonce.
Stephanie spelled with an I.
I mean, we were so, I mean, talk about how wrong we were in our predictions. Beyonce's not going to be touring next year. If anybody wants to go in on a singular ticket with me, let me know.
Wait, we're wrong?
Yeah, the album's out and she's going on a tour next year.
Oh, she is. I thought you said she isn't. I was like, I thought, okay, I got it, I got it. Oh, then, okay, then where it all just really like went skirt left, like completely, was so she went to this conference called Preparing a People. That I think also, like, I don't know, we had talked about them a bit, like, in our first episode, and, like, they had a website, and, like, it was sort of like a organization, but not a big one, I don't think.
It didn't have the footprint of a more legitimized organization. Yeah.
And that's where she met Chad Daybell, who was one of the guest speakers.
And Chad Daybell,
I mean,
she met.
Fuck a Chad.
Another person. I would trust a Melanie before a Chad. That's, full stop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
you know what I would say? I would always trust a Melanie, but never base a Melanie, like, for advice, never to guide your life. That is my amendment for that.
Seems fair. If your name is Melanie, DM us angrily, yeah. Not another true crime.
All right, it's, like, the cutest name. Only DM me if you know the Melanie singer from, like, the 60s and 70s, because otherwise, just Google her and respect your elders. So, more information on Chad Daybell. He also grew up in LDS and served as a missionary. His friend Benjamin described him as quiet, Bob Ross, but not as verbose.
I did not get Bob Ross vibes from this man. I mean, I know Bob Ross is like mildly canceled, but I'm like, put some respect on his name.
Between Chad and him? Yeah, I some mean, respect
come
on the
on.
Name.
Yeah.
They said that he's easily approachable and Gentile. I feel like those are just like...
Gentle.
Oh, gentle.
He's also, well, he also is a Gentile, but.
that's true. they didn't unpack that in the documentary, which confused me because I really feel like that added value to right. more depth
definitely
to him.
Definitely not a Jew.
Lord. He went cliff diving and had a near-death experience where he says he was knocked unconscious and started believing he could see into the future. That's a Raven style, and was a prophet. I would say this is why healthcare in America should be free. Because if a doctor looked at it, we'd be like, no, you didn't see into the future. You just had like blunt head trauma and you need help. I digress.
Yikes.
From there, he met Tammy. They got married and had five kids. Yeah. Tammy. I feel like Tammys are fertile. I will say that. I'm having a lot of opinions about names, and I do think that one
yeah,
holds
that is
up
the real
well.
Takeaway from this episode.
What's in a name? It's very, I could just do the full The Crucible. He started writing books and speaking at conferences, and he also started his own publishing company, Spring Creek Brooks, Spring Creek Book, sorry. And it is kind of one of those things
where I feel like Spring Creek Brooks.
I kind of like that too. I feel that should be something. That should be like a record label.
Ooh, I like that.
And I feel like us starting a record label right now is as legitimate as him starting Spring Creek Books.
I mean, yeah, it's just like anybody can, well, now I'm going to get people mad at me, but it's like anybody can self-publish a book. You know, you just have to write the book.
Yeah, which is the hard part in itself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. But yeah. It's just like.
But okay. Exactly. You can, yes. Chad believed that there would be an apocalypse and the righteous would survive, which is the 144,000 chosen ones who would be saved, and they would carry on the work of God into eternity.
Great.
And so shout out if you're not one of those people, we'll just be chilling here.
Yeah.
So instead of believing that like Jesus Christ would lead people post-apocalypse, Chad had the audacity to say that he was the leader.
Oh my God. Imagine being like, yes, we're following Chad. Fucking Chad is the Messiah. That's your Messiah is Chad.
Any person who's been on a date, first date in like Murray Hill or Kips Bay is like, I believe a Chad would think that.
Yeah, no, fucking facts. Like just.
They're just like, it just like diroots into like finance bro, which is just like, instead of like cultly or like super religious to get your like self-fulfillment. But yeah, that is Chad is ballsy.
Fucking Chad. Oh my God.
Yeah. So back to Lori though.
Yeah, because they like met at this conference and then she kind of started like fangirling over him. And then they started texting and definitely having an affair, but she claimed they weren't having an affair. Mm-hmm. And it was like, lady.
Lady, leave your man at home, which you did. Ouch. So she also believed that there was a demon living inside Charles and she was waiting for it to die. The demon had a name, like Mick or Ned Schneider, something.
That's weird.
Demonic. I don't know where she pulled that name out. Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
That seems like a coded. That seems coded. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm,
like, what's that about?
I see. Yep. She told Colby that he was cheating on her and had been for years. Weird overshare with the.
No, yeah, not he, Colby, but Charles.
Oh, Charles.
The second time I read that, I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, right, okay.
But like, where it's like, hey, kid, guess what? Yeah. She was telling Charles that she was a superior being and that she knew things others didn't know. Nobody was buying Charles' story. They thought he was just calling her crazy because he was caught cheating. So,
that is unfortunate.
I know. And she's like, no, you don't understand. She said, there's a demon living in me. It's like, no, because you're a piece of shit. He's like, okay, that aside.
But he also like, we don't know.
We don't have any confirmation that he did. You know, exactly.
But I'm like, damn, did you tell them that she thought that there was a superior being and that she was talking to angels? Like, I think that part might have maybe shifted people.
I think that could have done something. Yeah. So in January 30th, 2019, Charles was on a business trip and Lori and had Alex remove Charles's car from the airport. And Alex is her brother.
Yeah.
From the airport parking lot.
Who also like got involved in this cult.
Yeah.
What I also don't get about this cult is like, it seems like it was like a cult of five people.
Truly.
I'm like, if I'm going to like commit murder, I need it to be like, this is no Scientology. Like, I don't understand. I guess Charles Manson was like also a small.
That's true.
But still.
But yeah, it really made no sense to me how there was like no footings, like there wasn't like a church location or anything like that. It was all just very bizarre.
It was just Chad and like it was like a group chat. Like I don't
a group chat. Yeah,
that was this cult. Like that's all it took to convince you.
I'm sure whoever had an Android phone who couldn't get on it or like would turn the text green and they kicked him out was like, who?
And they're like, no, guys, let's get a group me. And they're like, shut the fuck up, Tyler. Wow. We're not getting a group me.
Yeah, like baby. No. Honestly, just do an Instagram DM then, because I am Gen Z. Well, actually, no, Gen Z would TikTok message, but whatever. But yeah, so Lori's brother removed Charles's car from the airport parking lot, and then took all the stuff, like his stuff from their house, and she took all the money out of the bank account.
Sketch.
Charles then, I mean, of course, called the police and was trying to get her like committed or something like that. But the police didn't really take him seriously and said that Lori was like legally in the right to take the children, which she is. I mean, they're married. But very bizarro. So the police like immediately pretty much sided with Lori on all this. Lori was also sending emails from Charles's account pretending to be him that sort of like condoned her affair with Chad, like so just kind of like to add more like web of lies and details into all this.
Just to kind of make it seem like it was okay, but it wasn't.
Charles reached out to Adam, Lori's brother, and said he was going to alert Tammy to what was going on. And he told Lori he was going to do this. Her response was, just get over it and move on with your life.
What a piece of shit.
Truly. Charles and Adam planned for some intervention to happen, but Lori knew that this was going to happen and had Alex come as backup.
Yeah, this is sketch. So on July 11, 2019, Charles is found shot dead, and it was kind of presumed to be self-defense at first. Like, Alex claimed Charles came at him with a bat and hit him in the head, and like, I don't know, it was just this whole convoluted story. And like, the kids were there and then they left. Okay. And so Lori told police that she and Charles were separated. He was living in Houston. But then like, why was he in Arizona?
That part. Yes.
So apparently, like the kids were in the house. Like, Lori and Tylee left after hearing these gunshots. Tylee went back into the house to get Lori's purse after the gunshots. That makes no fucking sense. And then Tylee still took JJ to school, even though their dad was like shot dead in the house. Like, none of this makes any fucking sense.
None.
And like, I don't even understand what, like, how they thought this would go over. And so the autopsy showed that the second time Charles was shot, he was actually laying on the ground. Also super weird is that when Lori called Colby to tell him Charles had died, she told him he died of a heart attack. She told JJ's school he committed suicide.
So I don't understand that she already was just like not having a story straight.
I know. I'm like, it's self-defense and a heart attack and suicide. Like, you're bad at this.
Yeah.
And then she, Charles had like other sons from a previous, from another woman.
Who didn't live in the state.
Yes. And she told them that he died over text.
Oh, God. After like they were like trying to contact him and everything.
Yeah. And then like she refused to answer for like hours. And then within days of Charles's death, Lori tried to cash in his $1 million life insurance policy.
Like 3 days later, I'm pretty sure it was the 11th to the 15th.
Yeah, like days.
Well, that's and 4 days, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, then she finds out that Charles had changed it. Mm-hmm. And then she texted Chad, at least I still got the four grand a month Social Security.
Oh.
And Chad says, Chad replies, this is terrible, but it was probably another step in bringing down the Gadiantons, especially Brandon, who I guess were like the demons. I don't know. It's giving Scientology vibes.
It's major. Yeah. Something in that regards.
And then Chad said about the policy, it will be interesting if it got changed after he had two bullets in his chest. And it's like, obviously not, Chad. You can't change your life insurance when you're already dead, you fucking idiot. This is your messiah. This?
That was my, he's like, no, he did it. I'm like, how would he have done that?
Yeah, he changed his life insurance from the grave. Like, are you fucking dumb? And so then they both came to the conclusion that Kay, who was JJ's grandma, was behind this. I don't know why, but they did. So then Colby and his wife, Kelsey, end up finding these emails Charles had sent before he was killed. Like, they kind of go back and they're like, did we miss the signs? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So in the emails, he'd sent these documents that Lori was keeping where she was like, tracking all of her friends and family and categorizing everybody as either a light or a dark spirit.
Like with a ranking, yeah.
Yeah, and she basically, I mean, it just seems like, again, like a cult, basically anybody who's not in the cult is like a dark spirit. So Charles was a dark spirit, Kelsey, Tylee, who I think is 16 at this time.
That's the crazy thing, even like children can be, usually, I guess cults do. Yeah. And also, I just wanted to look, before we get into it, Gladiantons in Mormon culture are apparently like ancient robbers. So,
there is okay, that. Then.
Back to you, Sarah. That was like breaking AccuWeather news.
Right? With the sports. So, like, basically, Chad had sent these documents as kind of like insurance. Oh, no. Chad had sent Lori the docs and claimed he could distinguish good from evil with this whole, like, fucking ranking system. Like, you could be like a level 4 dark spirit. Like, I don't know. It was just crazy. and they believed the only way to kill a bad spirit was to kill the body it housed. And then they also thought that anybody with a dark spirit was a zombie, and they needed to kill 20,000 zombies.
Zombie. The Cranberries. It looks like they just really probably listened to that on loop. I hope they weren't involved. I know. And you have to kill 20,000 zombies. That's a high number.
It's a lot. And so October 2nd, 2019, Brandon Boudreau was shot, and he was in the process of divorcing Lori's cousin, Melanie, and Melanie was, like, in this cult, too.
This cult's honestly just, like, a hitman cult.
I mean, yeah, this cult is just, like, a family reunion gone wrong. It's fucking weird. So Melanie married this guy, Ian, like, 2 weeks after they met, and then also around this time, Alex, who's, like, again, in the cult, because it's just...
in the cult, and also trying to be a stand-up comic.
So weird. So he marries this woman, Zulima, and I don't know, again, like, it's really weird that it's just, like, it's like you could have been a friend group, you could have been a book club, instead you chose to be a murderous cult. Like, why?
Truly the choices. Yeah. Hard choices, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
So Alex killed Melanie's husband, and also Lori had called Alex her hitman.
Mm-hmm.
And then even like the death toll is just keep going up. So on October 9th, a man in a ski mask shoots Tammy Daybell when she gets home. She screams and calls for Chad, and he runs around the back and basically tries to like talk the guy down or like talk
probably
to him.
Probably because he like knows the person. Yeah.
And, yeah. You're like that sketch. So she posts about the encounter on Facebook. Chad apparently told his friend that he's like, I have this plan that can't move forward until the spouses are dead.
Oh, for sure.
I know, right? And then Tammy dies 10 days later. Chad takes over $400,000 from her life insurance policy. The day after Tammy dies, Alex dies, supposedly, of pulmonary thrombosis, which is like blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom says blood clots do run in their family, but I mean, like, what are the odds?
Very suspicious.
And then, like, a day or so later, an article comes out saying that Lori had actually married Chad in Hawaii in November. And the article also said she'd run away from Idaho.
So much. So it's 9,000 fucking things.
So much going on.
And then flash forward to January 3rd, 2020. What a pure time, in a sense.
Facts.
For us all, not for them. Police search Chad and Tammy's home and seize like a ton of stuff, like journals, their electronic devices, etc. And in January 26, Chad and Lori are found in Hawaii. They refuse to answer any questions. Lori is given a deadline to hand over the kids that she just blows past. I think it was ABC News. There was a clip in it. They're like, why does she get a deadline? Like, why don't you just make her
right, do it? Like, do it now.
Now, like, what the fuck is, what is this 4-day grace period?
No, it was like a long time.
Or took a time, yeah. Investigators go into Lori's computer and they find a photo of JJ, Tylee, and Alex from Yellowstone on September 8th, 2019. And by looking at his cell phone records, authorities learn that Alex was in the Daybell's backyard for 2 hours one day. Chad also texted something about needing to burn a fire pit that day. And when they were on the trial, it was like, he like said he shot some animal and was burying that too. So he was doing an animal burial site. So authorities searched the property again. And this is when they did find human remains belonging to Tylee and JJ. And they took Chad into custody. And a really like dark time, even like when, because then Colby was kind of watching this trial happen. He was even like, when Lori walked in, he was kind of like, who is this woman? Like, painted crazy on face and like all this bizarro-ness. And then they even had a phone call and she was like, I miss them. They're my babies. And he's like, how can you miss them? Like, you killed them.
Yeah, and that was like so
but
disgusting.
But I do. Yeah. Her attorneys tried to claim that Lori was not competent to stand trial. But in April 2022, Lori was found completely competent to stand trial. And because so much of this happened during the pandemic, a lot of it was on Zoom. So there was like a lot of footage, specifically Zoom footage from the cases and everything. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. And I know on Friday, a judge banned cameras from the courtroom because the case is so high profile and that will continue even after like jury selection and everything like that. The case has also been moved to Ada County in the hopes of finding impartial jurors.
Yeah. They're going to have their work cut out for them. I feel like everybody has heard of
this. And especially like right after this documentary comes out. And on top of that too, she's also been accused of collecting like the Social Security benefits with their information between October 1st, 2019 and January 22nd, 2020.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've been indicted on multiple counts of conspiracy to commit first degree murder, grand theft by deception, first degree murder, and conspiracy to commit first degree murders related to all these deaths and everything like that. So a lot stacked against them. Trial was supposed to start in a few weeks, October 11th, but it was moved to January 9th, 2023. And it is kind of, I feel this is going to be one that is going to be watched very closely by.
Well, it's going to be tough. Yeah, because there's no. There's no cameras, which I get, but it's like it's going to be interesting to see the news that comes out.
Yeah. And I know in regards to the death penalty, they say they're looking into it for Vallo's case due to the aggravating circumstances leading to her alleged crimes. Vallo's attorney are asking for a probable cause hearing to discuss the alleged aggravating circumstances as well as the conspiracy charges.
Give me a break.
I know. It's insane. And it is, I mean, I guess I wonder if, I'm sure there was additional circumstances why they had to push it, but I wonder if they did push it because they were like, oh, this documentary just fucking came out. But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It is, yeah, very insane. And so much of it. And I mean, I feel even, I don't think it will be hard to prove the murder parts too, but the insurance fraud and claims too, I feel like are very, very easy to see. And then I remember to the journalist who was like working on the case, the local journalist who got 666, that number, photos sent to him of like Chad and Lori's wedding.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Crazy.
Oh God. It's just so, it's so bad.
I mean, listen, I don't think they're going to get away with it, but you never know.
I know, that's the thing. I feel it's just like truly impossible. And I feel like they almost, I think they know that they can't either because they were like, no, she can't stand trial. And I was like, she can.
It's like, she's totally fine. Like
she was a willing participant in all of this.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see like what happens, but.
And it's also interesting. I've heard nothing about this, I guess mainly because it's Chad and Lori are too involved in this, of what's going on with this group they were in.
Seriously. Like, do they disband or they, I don't know, but it's like, beyond. I don't know. It's just like such a bizarre, like fucked up situation.
It's painful. I know. I hate it. That's what I will say. Like, it was awful, but I'm glad they did the documentary to show so people can like shed more light on it. And I feel the documentary also did a good job of showcasing everything, giving a full picture of the story and everything like that too.
I had no notes. Like I thought it was, it was really interesting to get like Colby's side. It was like three episodes that I feel like, you know, didn't need more, didn't need less. I feel like they really painted a picture of like, just, I don't know, everything that was going on.
No, I think so too. I think it was very well done. And I liked that, how much of the family was involved with it versus because instead of it being like the like former coworker said that, I'm like, oh, we had like details from the beginning, middle and end of everything.
Yeah. And I thought they really went into like just again how crazy this was, that like details that we didn't like weren't out when this case first broke, like when the 100%. Kids were just missing. I feel like we didn't really know like everything that was going on with this cult. So yeah, like, I don't know.
I know, and it's crazy, too. I forgot that this was, like, 2 years ago. It seems like so much of it has been, like, developing and happening over time, but it's been a while for them to get some justice, so here's hoping that happens.
Totally.
In January 2023.
Yeah, totally. We'll be watching and updating you all.
Yeah, let us know what you guys thought about this documentary and if you thought it was well done or any additional stuff like that. I mean, me and Sarah liked it, but we want to know what your guys' thoughts. And if there's any documentaries out there that maybe we've missed and they're also about cases that we've never unpacked before because we totally want to look into doing those, you can let us know about them at Not Another True Crime in the DMs there, or the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group. I love when the people message like, I'm finally in the Facebook group. Like,
yes.
There, it's a fun, once you get there, it's a good time.
If you know, you know.
Yes.
Yes, it's a good group. What else do we have for you guys? I think that's all. We got the Instagram. We got the group. Send us your trivia questions. That's been fun. I've been posting like fan questions. You guys know way too much about true crime. But so I love that. So send me questions and answers, and I'll put them up on the story. I'll tag you if you want it. I don't have to. If you think your friends will judge you for knowing creepy stuff. But yeah, that's a fun thing I've been doing.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. And speaking of Instagram, you can always follow me there at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K.
Follow me at Sarah Lameem. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Sean Kilby, and Rebecca Sosmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at Not Another True Crime on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send all of your emails to natc@betches.com.
Betches.